Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Up Close and Personal with your host, Annie Latin Jazzy Rodriguez. Sit back and enjoy the journey where the possibilities are limitless. Enjoy the show.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm back. Happy Friday. Thank you for joining me this afternoon. I'm really, 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 really excited to finally get to speak to the young man on the phone. It's been a crazy day. I just got back from a food fundraiser for pancreatic cancer, and I'm really glad that I was there. It is a real, real honor to be a part of things, being that I have lost a family member and a dear friend to that ugly, ugly disease. But, you know, don't forget, you know, to donate or participate in any of the pancreatic cancers or any cancer organization that, you know, anyone feels that, you know, to be kind enough to give to, and hopefully one day there will be a cure for all of these diseases. But anyways, on a happier and a better note, today I have with me this prolific composer, producer, a world-class guitarist, a super act, someone whose music I have loved and loved for years. And today he has given me the honor of coming onto the show and talk with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Patrick Yandell.
No, thank you for having me. Hello.
Welcome. Oh, my gosh. So much to talk about. But this is your 19th CD. Am I right? Or is it the 20th? I'm pretty sure it's the 19th.
It's the 19th. Yeah, you're correct. Yeah, a lot of music out there.
19, see, that's a lot of music. And this current project, Ethos, is no joke. This project is amazing. I mean, it's got so many flavors in it. It's got so much. You have, again, outdone yourself. Really, really great job. Thank you.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's a labor of love, but I'm happy, pretty happy with how it came out. I don't know. I know most artists, once we all review our stuff, it's like, well, I could have done this there or done that a little differently. But, I'm really happy how it came out. It was what I was trying to do with the album. Seems like it came about. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Good. Now, let's for those that been on the rock for years and don't know much about you, maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you get started and, you know, your background and everything, where you come from. Is that okay?
Sure. Grew up in Michigan. My dad was in the Army, so he lived a lot of different places, but the stop when I was young, where he was stationed, was in Bay City, Michigan. So I really grew up there, went to college at Central Michigan, grew up there playing music, started playing in clubs around Michigan when I was in between the summers of eighth and ninth grade. So I started playing with older guys, and we were playing clubs all around, and I even grew a corny mustache to try and look older. And some of the clubs I wasn't allowed. Yeah, some of the clubs I wasn't allowed to stay in during break. I had to go outside, and in Michigan in the winter, that's not a good thing. So I'd have to go out there during break, maybe, you know, 15, 20 minutes during the winters, and then come back in when it was time to play the next set. But, you know, it was worth it. I've always just loved playing music and playing music out live. So it was worth it. And that's pretty much where my music started. And then I had a chance to move out to California. Some friends of mine had a band that was doing really well in San Diego. So came out here and played with a band called Devotion. It was a big horn band and played Tower Power and Earth, Wind & Fire, that kind of music. And it was just a blast to get started out here in the West Coast. And then from Devotion, a friend, the keyboard player, was working up in L.A. With a group called The Chill that was on Capitol Records. And he started bringing me up there for guitar sessions and writing music there. And that's kind of where the professional side of my career started, really getting into writing music and doing session work as a guitarist and playing around the West Coast.
Wow.
Hope that wasn't too long.
Now, oh, no, honey, no. We got more questions, trust me. Did you have a mentor growing up as to why you wanted to be a musician? And I mean, who was your mentor when you decided to pick up the guitar? And why did you pick up the guitar out of all instruments? What drives you to the instrument?
Why I started becoming a musician is probably, well, not kind of, mostly because of my dad. He was a musician. Growing up, he was always playing and singing, and he played in the army band. And when I was young, he had all these instruments laying around, and he could play upright bass, drums, and guitar, and saxophone, and some keyboards. And so, again, with those instruments laying around the house, the guitars just, I seemed to be attracted to it. But one instrument I started when I was in just fourth grade or fifth grade was a trumpet. And then from trumpet, I moved over to guitar. It just guitar had something about it that I just wanted to play, and started studying there, and started playing in church, and really the reading of music started with the trumpet, and then having to read music that was in church.
Nice. And they say, you know, when it all starts in church, you are a great musician because you get that soul, that root, that vibe in it. Awesome. Now, so what was the vision for Ethos? Am I saying it right? Because, you know me, I have my own accent, my own thing going. Okay. What was the inspiration, behind this 19th album, Ethos?
One thing that I do in my career, I write music that's used in television and movies and stuff like that. And so every day I'm composing and recording music. So after my 18th release, I took a little break, and my 18th release was Soul Grind, and it was on Intervision Records label out of L.A. And, they did a lot, promoted it, and it did well, and I ended up doing some shows from it, but one thing I have to always come back to my studio and do is the music for it, you know, that's used in TV and in the films, because it's kind of my bread and butter. So I started composing. I had like 40 songs that I composed for a library out of L.A. that their music is used in quite a few TV shows like New Girl. And I just finished that disc for them with 40 songs on. I thought, you know, some of those songs sound like they would be pretty nice for radio. So then I started going, sifting through all the 40 songs, besides still working on some new songs. And, between the new songs and those 40 tracks, I picked out the ones that I thought would be nice for radio songs. So then after that, I thought, well, I think I'm gonna go out there again and release another album. And that was the idea behind Ethos. And I didn't have a title for it. And one of the companies I'm endorsed by for musical instruments is called Custom Tones, and they make this pedal called the Ethos pedal for a guitar. And I also thought that was kind of a neat name, but I never knew what it meant. And so I looked up the, you know, Wikipedia's definition of ethos, and it was The Greeks believed that music could change people's minds, even their morals, and that seemed pretty cool. And so that's where the title of the album came, and then I wrote a song kind of with that feeling, you know, into it, and that became the title track, Ethos, for the album. And that's how that all came about.
Interesting. See, that's why I always ask about titles and names, because everybody relates it to something. So, and I'm curious, mm-hmm. you know. Well, let's start
yeah,
with that. Let's start with the title track, Ethos, from the new album title, Ethos, by Patrick Yandell. Am I saying your last name correctly? Yandell.
Yeah, it's kind of like Yandel, like Randall with a Y.
Yandel.
So Yandel.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't feel bad.
I like to make sure. Okay, well, here it is. Ethos. Enjoy an up close and personal.
Thank you.
is nice. What a wonderful beat. Wow. Love it.
Thank you.
tell me, I know that as a musician, there's always a challenge. For this particular album, was there any challenges that you had to face, you know?
One of the, probably the biggest challenge was I was still with Inner Vision Records, and the guys there, one of them is Adam Leibovitz, and the other guy on the one of the heads of the label, Steve Belkin, and they, I went to them. I said, you know what? Would you guys mind if I went out and released this on my own label, which I have a few records? And they were so cool about it. I was so worried about talking to them at first, and then after I did talk to them, they said, you know, no problem. You're welcome to go out and release on your own label, which has, you know, over the years being on different labels, I was just, again, I was so worried about talking to them about, hey, do you mind if I do this one on my own label? And they were so, again, they were so cool. It was just, they've been a great label to be associated with because they have a get-together out here in L.A. where all the artists get together every year in January and perform together. And it's, you know, again, that was the
isn't
probably
that for
the
NAMM?
One of the biggest.
Isn't that when they go for? Isn't that when they do the NAMM? They do the NAMM show every year? Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, it's a good time. And Will Donato and Hope Aaron, Blake Aaron is out, you know, is part of that. And we all get together and we play together. Greg Vale and I go way back. So it's always a blast to get up on stage with that guy. Just amazing sax player. And again, Will Donato and I have done shows together. It's just a great time over there at Spaghettini when they have the show.
Nice. Are you still with the label now, or are you still on your own? Are you on your own now?
Yeah, I'm on my own, but I don't know. They left it open up and up to me if I want to come back and release on their label. Again, they've been so nice about everything. Not sure what's going to happen in the future. I'm already starting to work on another album, so we'll see what happens with it.
That's right. How would you like this album? I mean, it is album number 19. Does every album, do you want to be seen different as a musician? How does this particular album, Ethos, reflect you, and who do you want to be perceived as a musician?
This one was different. I think I went for a little bit of harder edge on this one than some of my others. Between 19 albums, I've had like a rock instrumental album that I did, and that was actually done for a sports special. I put together a bunch of songs for a sports special, and they wanted rock songs, so that album, that's where that came from. This album, I just, for the guitar sound, I think I went for a little bit edgier sound in it, a little bit edgier quality of the sound. And again, I've had pretty laid back albums that I've done earlier, more, you know, George Benson kind of Wes Montgomery sounding album. Yeah. And, you know, this one was more of a kind of a Larry Carlton little Robin Ford-ish album, like that last song you heard. Definitely the guitar had a little bit of rock sound in it. So every album's a little different. And this, and like I said, I'm working on a new album, and it's coming out a lot. It kind of going back to where I started with a real kind of Wes Montgomery, George Benson sound, and I'm really loving it. So that's probably the next sound you hear. It's hard for me to just stay in one, you know, have one sound, which I, you know, labels have told me I should do, but I don't know. I just love so many different kinds of music, and growing up with a bunch of brothers that listen to a bunch of different music from rock to R&B, and growing up in Michigan where the R&B and Stevie Wonder and everybody and rock was there too. I have a lot of flavors inside me that want to get out. So that's how my albums come around, and sometimes they sound way different than the other. Yeah.
And that, Patrick, is what makes every album so unique. Because, you know, I mean, let it be said, I say, you know, what I have to say, but, you know, a lot of musicians, I'm very simple. What you see is what you get, you know. a lot of musicians, you know, you hear the same thing over and over and over. And one of the things, I think I have listened to, I would say 12 to 13 out of the 15 albums, and there are no two albums that are the same.
No, oh, thank you. Again, that's, some labels don't like that, but over the years, it's just, you know, I've had to kind of defend what why I made had a sound on a certain album to these label owners. But that's just how it, that's just how it works out for me.
Yeah, you have to be you.
Yeah, definitely.
So throughout the years, I've noticed, you know, looking at pictures and album covers and stuff like that, you go from one look to the other, and one of the looks, okay, that really, really get me, and that's why I love this cover so much on Ethos, is that pose that you have. Who did that? Because I've seen pictures, you know, with you on that pose, and it seems like they took that pose and put it in this album. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was performing at the Huntington Beach Jazz Festival, and a lady that comes and has seen me play live since I started out here in San Diego, she took that shot and just sent it to me in Facebook, and I said, hey, can I use this, you know, and she said, sure, you know, I really like that shot too. Well, I took it, and then I, you know, every album of mine has my mug on, my face on there. So I thought, you know, I'm going to see if I can adjust this photo in Photoshop. And so I played around with it. My son showed me how to, you know, kind of distort the actual picture and put some special effects on it. And he showed me how to do that special effect that was used on it. And I thought, hey, it's kind of cool. And then I worked with it. And then I finally said, that's the cover. I'm going to go with that cover. Just, yeah, like you say, it was something different. It kind of every album it's been put next to with all these different radio programs, it kind of stuck out. So that's, you know, to me, that was a good thing.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I thought it was so cool.
Thank you.
Okay, now let's go with Say Goodbye. What's behind anything particular behind this song?
Yeah, a couple of the songs were on this album were influenced by my older brother. He passed away. He was a professional skateboarder almost his whole life, and it was a tough one. He was the strong one out of all of us, and when he passed away, it was just a tough one. And again, he was a professional skateboarder that's in the skateboard museum, and we were up in Northern California, and where the museum is, and we saw his picture in there. And I don't know, I came home and I was composing for a couple different projects, and this was one of the ones that came out, just thinking about him, but for my brother Chris.
I'm sorry for your loss, and
thank you. That
must have been something for you. Here it is for Chris. Say Goodbye, an up close and personal with me and Patrick Yandel. There we go. Well, here we are.
You're not
Say
the
goodbye.
Other one. Don't worry about it.
I'm telling you. Okay, here it is. Wow, that's beautiful, beautiful.
Oh,
wonder,
thank you.
That one touched my heart. So it has a really beautiful meaning behind it. Keep
sharing
that with us.
Thanks.
Were there any collaborators in this album?
No, there wasn't. I've had an art director, a designer that's a really very close friend of our families, and he's done all the album covers a lot of them over the years, and even the first few album covers was another friend that was very close. But this one, I did. There was nobody else on this album. I played all the instruments. I engineered it. Did the artwork on it. Well, my son helped me with the artwork, but yeah, everything was done in-house, definitely in-house.
Wow. That's awesome, dude. Awesome,
well,
awesome.
Thank you.
Make It Happen. What was the reason behind Make It Happen? Anything in particular?
A friend of mine is a motivational speaker. His name's Steve Murphy, and you can see him on YouTube. And he goes around and people like Apple and a whole bunch of different big companies bring him in. And he lives like two houses down from me, and we get together, him and his wife, and me and my wife, and we just have a great time. But in one of his terms that he used, and it was kind of the theme of his speech to, I'm not sure which big company he was talking to, but a whole big room full of people was, and he said, one of the things you have to do is just make it happen. You can't think about it too much. If you decide that that's the way you want to go with something, you've just got to make it happen. And I thought that was so cool. And I told him a week later, I said, that'd be a good title for a song. And I said, I'm going to write you a song for that. So that's where that came from.
Awesome. I tell you. Well, here it is from Patrick Randell's new album, Ethos, Make It Happen. And where did it go? It just disappeared on me. Lord have mercy. my thing is so sensitive. Just bear with me.
No problem.
So you have 15 songs too. I mean, dude, your thing is you have 15 songs. It's not just 9 or 10. You have 15.
Next one, I'll make 10 for you.
Well, here it is. Make it happen. Well, you made it happen.
Yeah.
Well, you already say you're working on your next album. But before that, I know you've mentioned about your bread and butter. You do stuff for films and TV shows and stuff like that. How did all that come about?
One of the labels I was working with back in the late 90s got me into a couple different things. And the first thing, the Jazz Muzak programs came around and asked us producers that, you know, if we had some stuff we thought would, you know, they just started to change from the elevator music to they wanted more funky, upbeat songs. And so a few of us started producing music for this executive producer for his affiliation with Muzak that you hear at malls and stores like that. Mm-hmm. So a bunch of us were composing and writing and producing and, you know, recording that stuff for that company back then. Well, that went from there to another company I started producing music for their program, and that was the Weather Channel. So they started using a bunch of my music, and for a while there, they used quite a bit of my song list. So from there, some other people, another company, it's called a music library, and a lot of these companies, there's a lot of them up in L.A., and there's a few in New York that I do some music for. And again, the TV shows come to them and say, look, you know, we have this scene. You know, we wanted to see if you had anything that would fit into a scene in a TV show. And a lot of times they'll go to the library. And I've been very fortunate to have, you know, music turn up in quite a few different TV shows like that. And one of the major films I had music turn up that way from a music library was the movie Fruitvale Station. And it was just great to go see the movie and hear my music in there. And so it was the movie was so, I don't know, it was just so touching. It was such a great movie. I just loved the movie. And so we hung around and just to see the, you know, the name in the credits. And also when you buy the movie, it's also on the soundtrack. So it's really nice to, you know, get your music used in something that you're proud of. So, and that's kind of how it works.
I did that song. See, that's my name. That's me.
Yeah, exactly. It reminded me of the first time I heard my music on the radio. You know, it's like, hey, that's me right there. That's me. So, again, over the years, it's been rewarding and for some of those things.
That's beautiful. That is just wonderful. Oh, my goodness. She's fine. Who are you talking about? She's fine.
just my wife, and that's it.
She's fine. Yeah, I'm
you know
sure
that,
she is.
Yeah. I titled that song after I wrote it, and I listened to it, and I said, it kind of got that sexy Marvin Gaye vibe. So that's, I don't know. And a friend of mine, we were at a football game or something, and a girl walked by, and he said that. And I thought, hey, that's kind of a nice title for, you know, again, that's some of these names for the songs. That's just how I hear somebody say something. I think that's a pretty cool, you know, that might make a good title for a song. So. And it just seemed to fit. And a couple other radio programmers said, you know, I can kind of see a girl in my mind when I listen to this song. So I said, well, thank you for saying that, because I was hoping to get that feeling, you know, in this song.
True that. And, you know, it's funny because my teenager, anytime you ask her or say something to her or whatever, she has this saying, not my issue, not my problem. I said, you know what, you said that so much, you should go ahead and make a song. Not my issue, not my problem.
Not my issue, not my problem. Oh, you'd have to make an angry song for that title.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, you know, you should go ahead and market that saying and make yourself some money out of it, I'll tell you. Okay, well, here it is for Mrs. Yandel. She's fine. I love that song. It reminds me, you know, back in, back in the days when they used to have the little, what they used to call them, the basement parties and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like something funky with the lights off and you'd be grinding with it. I love that. That's what it reminds me of.
Oh, good. That's definitely the feeling I was going for on that one. And I remember those parties when I was a kid.
Yeah, I remember my mom yanking me out of them, too.
Yeah. Yeah, but growing up in Michigan, everybody had basements. You come out to California, nobody has basements. You kids don't have anywhere to throw a party like that.
Wow. Patrick, you have played with a lot of people. You know, you've been a sideman. And how does it feel from being a sideman to being on your own?
You know, I started being a solo act in the 90s when I was in my 20s. And, you know, over the years, I've gotten to play with different people, but I never wanted to make a career out of just playing with other, you know, playing, being a sideman. But I do enjoy backing other people. Back in the early days when I had just gotten on Brainchild Records, I was a sideman for a guy named J. Michael Verda, a very, very prominent contemporary jazz keyboardist who ended up, again, he went the way of producing for movies and stuff, music for movies, and I enjoyed it. But you know, the bad thing about that, I had just released a solo album that was doing pretty well, so I could only stay on for about three of his shows, and then I had to go start promoting my own stuff. So, again, I've played with so many great artists, got to work with, you know, Randy Brecker and Will Lee played on my album with the, From the Ashes that I recorded in New York and in New Jersey. And, you know, for guys like that, it was such an honor. But then again, it was always returning back to my own music and focusing on that. And I have friends that play all over with different people and they seem to be enjoying themselves. But I just, that was never something I wanted to make a career out of, you know. Again, it's fun for me, but I always come back to my own music. It's like, okay, Lois, now what do I need to do to get back on track and start playing my stuff and working on my music? So.
Nice. Now, if you had to play with someone, who would it be? Someone great, either here or gone. If you want to be invited, if you had ever sitting there and said, I wish I could play with so and so, who would that so and so be?
You know, a long time ago, I was playing in a club in San Diego called Humphreys, and it was actually a CD release party in the 80s. And who walks in but George Benson? And George Benson goes over to my agent, and we were in the middle of, we were actually playing one of his songs, which made me probably the most nervous I've ever, we were playing Affirmation. And I saw him walk in, I saw him talking to my agent, and I'm thinking, he's probably saying, those guys need to learn how to play this song. But after we went on break, he actually told her, your boy, who was me, is roasting. I told her, that's the most amazing thing that's probably ever happened to me in my career. So you asked me who I'd want to play with. I would love to just sit back and play rhythm guitar behind George and just listen to it all night. And I had gotten to meet the guy that usually plays rhythm guitar for him. And I just said, golly, that's what a gig that must be. Just listening to probably the greatest guitar player of all time, you know, playing every night, you know, just playing rhythm behind him and listening to him. I'd have to smack myself sometimes to make sure I was playing the parts I was supposed to, though, because I'd probably get lost in just listening to him. He's that incredible, you know.
Nice. Well, George, if you're listening, come check out Homeboy. Anyway, My Sanctuary, what was that about? What is Patrick's Sanctuary besides your music?
Yeah, it definitely, and it's kind of got the double me. It's my sanctuary is my studio. I go in and every day, and I'm just I'm so comfortable here. It's just, it's where I love, you know, it's having a job that you love to do every day. And that's what I do. I go in my studio and I just start to work on, you know, writing or composing or recording or whatever I've got going on. And, that, and also, Sanctuary is a jazz club in my neighborhood that I play at once in a while. It's called Sanctuary. And I had just recently played there. And again, when I was composing, I thought that's such a cool little place. It's very small, very intimate, and it's just a great place to perform at. And the people are super nice that own it. And they don't have much money for acts, but they do, you know, try and deck you out with food or whatever when you play there. So it's just a great place to perform, Sanctuary. And, oh, they're actually starting to get, you know, some LA guys coming down, Adam Hawley and Greg Vale. They've come down. Slim Man has come down and performed there. So again, it's just, it's a great place to play. And, that's part of why I wanted to write a song about that. And that track, another radio programmer for the Moth FM had told me, boy, my wife really loves that tune of yours, My Sanctuary. I said, that's funny because there's about six other women that have told me they really like that song. So I said, it's such a compliment that I had, you know, quite a few ladies come and say, hey, that's the track I really like. So My Sanctuary, we're just thinking about releasing either that one or one of the other Memories of You as the next single, but this is definitely in the running for the next single.
Nice, nice. Well, here it is, Patrick's album, Ethos. Here it is, My Sanctuary. Bam. laid back and funky. Just how I like it.
Yeah, same here.
You've been doing this for some time now. Mm-hmm. How has the business aspect of the music differed from when you started with album number one to current album number 19?
You know, like everything, it's really changed over the years with the internet, and then with a lot of the smooth jazz stations going down, and it's a boy, guys that started back in the 90s and then in the 80s like I did, it's so different now, and it's tougher in some respects, but then there's other opportunities that have come around for people like me that aren't, you know, on the larger labels and stuff like that. Even though I was on some decent sized labels over the years, it was always a struggle to try and compete with some of the other guys. Now it's very different with the, you know, the stations online and on the internet that everybody can hear this kind of music on. So yeah, it was just a matter of adjusting to, you know, releasing an album and promoting it, and it's different, but a little bit of the same, if you know what I mean. You know, with some radio promotion companies, you know, you still got to have a radio promoter. You still, you know, if you want to survive out there, even with this music pretty much being online, or the HD stations, you know, that you get in your car, or the cable music is very important now. You know, like the smooth jazz station from your cable TV that you can hear on you know, on those stations. So there's different places to be heard and different ways of promoting, but it still feels like I'm doing a lot of the same things. Just had to adjust to where it's being played. Yeah.
Awesome. Now, the current single is Peyton Place.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Yeah, because that's what we're playing on WSJR. Peyton Place. What was that about?
Kind of play. Excuse me. A play on words. You know, you remember the old show, Peyton Place, the old TV show. And then my niece just recently had a baby, and she named her Peyton. And I got to meet her when she was just a very, very small baby. She's still very young, but just one of those babies that was happy and just made everybody around her smile. So after meeting her, and I'm recording or writing music every day. After meeting her, I went home and I thought, I'm going to write that beautiful baby a song. And that's how it ended up. I was just going to call it Peyton, but some show was mentioning, a trivia show was mentioning that old show Peyton's Place. So, again, that's the title of that
diss track. That was a soap opera.
Yeah,
that's
what it was, a soap opera. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm probably much older than you, but I remember my mom watching that show, that soap opera.
I doubt it, honey. I'm an old lady with cane and a whole nine yards and the gray hair. Now, let me stop.
I don't know.
We're probably from the same era.
I think we are.
Okay, well, here it is. Peyton's Place, the current single from Patrick Yandell, and Up Close and Personal. Enjoy.
Thank you.
is one of those songs that every time I hear it, it makes me smile.
Yeah, that's great. That's again the little baby that it was named after. That's what she did. She just everybody that came near, she'd smile, and you just have to smile back.
Well, I hope you get to see her grow up to be a beautiful young woman.
Yeah, she will.
I have asked a question about every song. And now, without laughing and without taking it to a different dimension like I like to do, track number 3, Big Ol' Moose.
The Big Ol' Moose?
Yeah, that's a hot song. What is that about?
Again, another friend of mine, a guy that used to do all the artwork for my earlier albums, he finally moved to Hawaii and retired on the Big Island in Kona. And he got bored after a while and started up a business, a T-shirt business. And he calls it, it's the Big Ol' Mobetta line. And it actually starts at, I think he starts at XXX. And then they go up from there.
He does
well over in the islands, and the T-shirts are amazing. His name is Ed Nava, and he's got he rents bikes over there, and he's got the T-shirt company going. He couldn't stay retired for very long. He's always been a go-getter, and he's one of my best friends. And the T-shirt line is hilarious. So if you ever check it out, you'll get a crack up. And he makes, besides the stuff for the big folks, he makes baby clothes too, and the sayings on the t-shirts are just hilarious. But it's Big Ol' Mobetta.
Oh, I have to check that out. Well, here it is. Big Ol' Mobetta from Patrick Yandell. awesome. I love that song. I know I mentioned that I just came from a food drive, but what I did not mention was that I am with friends that we did this together at Starbucks, but I'm outside, so you can't hear the noise inside. And they're dancing in there to that song. They're listening on the tablets. they're jamming to that song. People are looking at them kind of funny, so that's why I'm not even want to look that way no more. Oh, man. This is such a wonderful, wonderful project, and I'm very, very sure that the next one will be the same, and even, you know, you'll take it one more step, especially since you say you're going back to your original sound.
Yeah.
Besides that fact, what else do you want your next album to represent when it comes out?
Probably going back to, again, to my pretty much the original sound I had, which was kind of modeled after, you know, the George Benson, Wes Montgomery sound, and but still just wanted to have that good vibe feeling like this one. Might have a little bit more South American feel on some of the tracks, but still kind of that same vein like this one, but again, have that good vibe feeling. And you know, with that, you're involved in that charity and stuff. I wanted to tell you, just if you need CDs or anything, you know, to be donated to help out with your cause for the cancer research, and you just got to let me know, and I'll get a bunch out to you, and hopefully it can help out with you raising funds and everything for that.
So kind of you.
Oh, I'd love
so
to.
So kind of you.
Yeah, well, I've had some family members over the years that was lost, and yeah. So you let me know what you need, Annie. Anything you need for that, okay?
Oh, thank you. That touches me. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm trying to get more into it because, like I said, I lost I was raised with my cousins. They were like my brothers and sisters, and we lived next door to each other in New York, and we lost one a year ago, a year or two ago, and to the pancreatic cancer. And then one of the musicians that I deal with, he just lost his mom earlier this year to the same thing. And I think it's one of those diseases that are really awful because you don't, by the time that you get to them, they already in a high stage, you know, it's like
right.
A little difficult to detect illnesses, and then most, you know, 80% to 90% of the time, it's too late, you know, by the time that they do find it, and I think it's sad, very, very sad, so.
Yes,
well,
is.
Thank you
yes,
so much. Thank you so,
you got
so
it.
Much. Oh, man, that was cool. Thank you. The next song that I want to do is and then after that, I'm going to let you go, you know, Shakedown. I really love that song. What was Shakedown about?
Kind of a funk song that, again, sometimes when I'm writing, I'm thinking, you know, I'd like to write something that would be fun to play live. And I get to play with some great bass players around, you know, Daryl Williams, Nathan Brown out here in Southern California, and Sekou Bunch played with me. Who played on all the great Tom Brown songs, you know, guys like that. And I composed this one thinking, you know, let's write a song that would be fun for me and a bass player to play together, and that's where Shakedown came from.
Awesome. Well, here it is. Let's shake it down. Oh, my goodness, Patrick. I'm telling you, that's got it all right there. Wow.
Thank you.
Would you like to tell us where would you be playing next, and how do we find you on social media?
Sure. Doing a CD release party this month in San Diego at Humphreys backstage there, right on the water near the airport on November 20th. That's Sunday. And also I've got a Christmas and doing a release party out in Michigan December 17th. It's a Saturday in December. So we'll be out there in Bay City at the State Theater in Michigan in December. And anything else you can find, I've got a Reverb Nation page. It's reverbnation.com/Patrick Handel. And I usually have my schedule there and any news, and you can listen to my music and just join as a fan. You'll get emails of where I'm playing and also news of a new album coming out, or if I have music in a upcoming TV show or anything like that, the music news also comes out of there. And I'm also on Facebook at facebook.com/Patrick Handel Music. You can follow me on there also.
Are you on Twitter?
Yes, at P. It's just P. Handel. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Slash P. Handel. Yeah.
Right. Surprise, surprise, because I want the last one I want to finish with another song, track number 12. But surprise, surprise, that kind of like intrigued me, as all the titles do. What's that about?
Gonna show my age again. You remember the show Gomer Pyle? He used to say surprise,
oh my
surprise.
God. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, it's funny you asked that, because when my wife saw it, why'd you title that one Surprise, Surprise? I said, well, I for some reason I was thinking about Gomer Pyle, and she said, don't title it that. I said, no, it's just kind of funny. And I said, it's already, it was too late. I said, it's already been in the, you know, written into the artwork. And she said, do you really have to call it that? I said, but that's what that's about. And when I was a kid, I used to like that show and thought it was pretty funny. So again,
that was hilarious. Surprise, surprise. I remember. Oh,
yeah.
Boy, do I remember. Well, here it is. Surprise, surprise. By Patrick. OMG. love it, love it. Well, I have, I think this could be probably the last question, but I would like to know, tell us five things about Patrick Yandell that we may not know.
One is, I was a Pop Warner football coach for 3 years, head coach for Pop Warner. People probably wouldn't expect that from me.
Before you even go on, have your wife cover her ears, but you're very well built, so yeah, I could picture you that. Let me stop.
Okay. let's see. I love to play tennis still. Is that a fun fact? Let's see. I still eat tuna, sardines out of the can since I was a kid. I know a lot of people can't stand those, so I think that's a fun fact to know. Let's see, I'm Samoan. A lot of people ask me my nationality. They can't figure out my nationality. So a lot of people think I'm Native American, but I'm half Samoan and half British. My mom was British, and that's the mix you see in me. Let's see, was that three? let me think. I started on the ukulele. That's probably another thing people don't know. I started on the ukulele. That's the Polynesian side coming out. I started playing ukulele, and then I started guitar in fifth grade. So from ukulele to guitar, and also some trumpet in there, a little bit of trumpet before that. And finally, let's see. Tough one. I wasn't ready for this.
That's the
my favorite. Even though I grew up in Michigan, my favorite football team is the New England Patriots. There you go. There's five.
There you go. Okay. Nothing wrong
my
with that.
I loved it.
My
son likes the Ravens, though, Annie. So he's on your side.
Oh, wow. Poor baby. Okay. Well, no, that's good. That's good. And don't anybody color your ears. As long as he didn't say the Redskins, everything is well. He's my boy.
Okay.
Patrick, I want to thank you, man. You have made my day. You really have.
I love your music.
You're just one amazing musician, and we are going to finish up this Yandell party with the appropriate song, Friday Groove. And I guess you did that on a Friday. Did you do that song on a Friday? Is that why it's called Friday Groove?
I did, and it had that. Hopefully, it has that feel where it's everybody can relax a little bit at Friday.
Okay, well here it is, Friday Groove, and we'll be right back to say so long to Patrick in just a minute. Listen to this track right here.
Friday, Friday, Friday,
definitely the song to end the show with. I'm wishing everyone has a funky, funky Friday groove and a great weekend. And I want to thank you, Patrick, again for being so wonderful and coming to the show and sharing this beautiful, hot album with us.
It was an honor, and thank you so much for having me. Definitely an honor.
Well, let me know when the next album comes out, and you know where to be. You know what we do. So take us a minute, as usual, but let me know, okay?
Would love to. And you keep in touch, and let me know if I can get you some CDs for that, you know, the charity. And also keep in touch, and let me know if anything opens up to play out there. Would love to come visit Maryland and around there to perform. So you let me know.
Most definitely. I look forward to doing that.
Yeah,
well,
sounds
ladies
good.
And gentlemen, yes, sweetie, yes, it does. This is Patrick Yandel. Please get the CD Ethos, as you've heard. It's hot and awesome, and it's got all kinds of grooves. Thank you for joining me, and I will see you all next week, as I will have on Monday Bill McGee from 804 Jazz. Again, thank you for joining me, and hope everyone has a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And don't forget, as usual, stay blessed and keep it smooth. Bye, y'all. Bye, Patrick. Thank you.
Bye, Annie. Thank you. Big love to all of you. And you keep in touch, honey.
I will, honey. I will. Promise.
All right. Have a good one.
Okay. Bye-bye. You too. Again, that was Patrick Yandel. Please get the album Ethos. I love it, and I know you will love it as well. Have a good evening and a wonderful weekend. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to Annie Latin Jazzy Rodriguez. Until we meet again, stay blessed, and don't forget to keep it smooth. Have a good night.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.